7:44 on your Monday morning. We are bringing you the very latest this morning at 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. We can tell you this morning there are currently 13 active wildfires burning in our province. Five of them are not contained. Now, that is an improvement from last week when we saw a little more than 20 wildfires burning. So we are getting some improvement. It's been cooler. It's been a little rainier down here and as well in northern Saskatchewan. And because of that, more evacuees are able to go home. And that has included in the LaRange area. And we are joined on the line this morning by LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett. Morning, Derek.
Good morning.
So is everyone back? Are things back to normal there?
Yeah, everyone was able to return home on last Thursday. Things are slowly getting back to normal. The businesses over the past weekend, they sort of had shorter operating hours, and you know, places that, like restaurants haven't been having their whole menu available. But I think as the week goes on, things will return back to how they were.
And I know one of your most recent articles, Derek, talked about a kind of a staggered return. Some got to return earlier than others.
That's right. So people in the service industry, like gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, they were allowed to come back a day or two early just to get everything ready for everyone else. You know, people with essential services like doctors and that type of thing. And then, yeah, the rest of the general public last Thursday.
So how are people feeling there?
You know, I think the biggest thing is there's been a lot of shock and sadness just because of the destruction to our natural habitat here. A lot of the boreal forest has burnt down right around our area and on the highway to LaRange. So I think a lot of people are just kind of upset because, you know, things like that are going to take many, many years to come back.
LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett on the line with me this morning. You know, you talk about the damage, some of the forest. What about within the community itself? Have you noticed any significant damage to structures, Derek? What's the difference since you were last there?
So I think probably a lot of your listeners have heard that the historic Robertson's Trading Store here in LaRange burnt down. There was thousands of Indigenous artifacts, beadwork, stuff like that, that was lost. Rona, another business, that burnt down. There's also a few houses that are gone, but I think in other communities such as Second River and Hall Lake, they have many more houses that burnt down. I think it was something like 12 in Sucker River and then 4 in Hall Lake. So,
and in a lot of cases, it's not just a building. Like these are memories. These are artifacts or places where people have created, in many cases, great memories. And now those buildings are gone. That's got to be a huge blow for LaRange area.
Oh no, yeah, for sure.
So was the process to get back for people difficult, Derek? Were there, I can imagine, you know, when you try to move thousands of people on probably not many roads, was it difficult, did you find?
Well, the highway was, you know, a lot busier. I feel like the logistics were handled pretty well. People without a vehicle were sort of bused back over a number of days from places like Regina, Saskatoon, Prince Albert. So it was, like you said, like kind of a staggered return to the community.
Is there any worry there the community may be forced to leave again? We don't want to say that, but I can imagine that it's got to be in the back of people's minds.
You know, it's hard to say. People have been thinking about it. It's still early in the summer, right? Like it's middle of June right now, so the wildfire season isn't over.
Well, we appreciate your time, Derek, and thanks for your reporting on this.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett checking in this morning. And like we said, continuing improvement in the north. We've also been telling you this morning the voluntary evacuation order in Candle Lake is now removed so people can start going back there. Again, voluntary. It was never mandatory, but they had encouraged people to get out because of that nearby Shoe Fire that was massive. It still remains massive, and it wasn't that far away. But conditions continue to improve, so we will see where things go. And as always, 980 CJME will keep you up to date with live updates on the wildfires up north. CJME News time is now 7:49. We were singing that song yesterday. Father's Day. Yeah, it was a very nice day yesterday. Not wind stayed relatively calm. A teeny little bit of a breeze. Blue sky. It was hot out. We got ice cream. Trying to rush to to drop it off before it melted, before it was, you know, less ice cream and more soup. But certainly nice. Could be stormy today. Not quite as blue sky out there this morning. A lot of dark gray clouds. And yeah, there is certainly a thunderstorm risk for later in the day today and as well tonight. Some of the big headlines that we are following for you this morning. The big G7 leader summit next door in Alberta in Kananaskis. Leaders are there, including President Donald Trump from the U.S., Prime Minister Mark Carney. The two will meet before the official meeting gets underway, kind of a pre-meeting meeting between the two. And we've seen a number of protests and demonstrations already. Several hundred protested in downtown Calgary yesterday. Leslie Boyer was there and says it was important for her to speak out against President Trump.
We're not interested. Hopefully they'll see it and know that even an old granny has got the balls to get up and say, go away, Trump. We don't want you here.
Now, there was concern in the skies yesterday when Canadian fighter jets were deployed to intercept a private civilian plane that violated restricted airspace above the G7 meeting site. We know a big focus of this meeting, based on what we've heard this morning from British PM Keir Starmer, will now be the fighting between Israel and Iran. Iran just fired a new wave of missile attacks on Israel early this morning, as the fighting between those two has increased substantially over the last number of days. So we'll continue to follow the G7 for you. I'm winning. 8:14 on your Monday morning. The Riders beat Hamilton 28-23. Saskatchewan's now 2-0 on this new young season. Joined on the line this morning by Belton Johnson, part of our Green Zone pre- and post-game show for the Riders. Great Cup champ. What happened, Belton, to Brett Lawther? We were watching with the wives and girlfriends, and the reaction in the room was either, what are you doing? Get rid of him. Though some did feel a little bad for him. Certainly wasn't his sharpest game.
He didn't have the sharpest game, as you know, like your friends and everything. I was thinking the same thing, get rid of him. But, you know, Brett Lawther, you know, he's had games like this in the past and, you know, last year, as a matter of fact, and he was able to bounce back. I think he'll be able to bounce back from this game. He's a professional. And the one thing I did find out, Kevin, was he wasn't able to practice field goal kicking last week with them being indoor with the smoke and everything, right? So I'm going to chalk that one up, and I know he'll be back this upcoming week.
That's right. Green Zone Rider reporter Britton Gray had told us that last week that, yeah, when you do move indoors, and, you know, you may know this from a certain extent, you can't do everything that you want to do. And in his case, you know, probably kick like he wanted to kick. Now, aside from Lawther, what concerned you a bit from this game, Belton, and what impressed you about the Riders?
What really concerned me is the busted coverages, right? Like, you know, Coach May spoke about that after the game. So, Kenny Lawler, he had a heck of a game, wide receiver for the Ticats.
Torching.
He had 8 catches, 162 yards, so they need to fix that.
What about what impressed you from the Riders, Belton?
Well, there was a couple things that impressed me. One is A.J. Ouellette. He had 96 yards rushing. Had a nice stiff arm on that 47-yard run that he had for a touchdown, right? And the O-line, I'm going to tell you, they've only given up. I mean, it's only 2 games. I know it's early in the season, but they've only given up 1 sack these 2 games here. And, you know, for the Riders to have moved pieces around along that O-line, they've shown pretty darn good the past 2 games there, Jeff.
Belton Johnson on the line with me this morning. So Trevor Harris, Belton, after the game, says they're finding ways to win, and that is the DNA of a championship-caliber team. that's not putting lipstick on a pig, is it, at this point?
No, I don't think it is, Kev. They found a way to win, Roland Milligan. He had the pick six there in the game, right? And so that when he had that pick six, that gave the Riders the lead, and the Riders never looked back after that. It's just that, you know, with Brett Lowther missing those kicks, to me, this game shouldn't have been close as it was. They should have, you know, what Brett Lowther had missed three field goals and an extra point. So you tally that up, add it to the score, you know, it's a double-digit lead there and everything, right? So the game shouldn't have been close. They got it. They were on the road. Hopefully they play better this week against a not-so-good Argos team.
Clean up the kicks. Belton, always appreciate your time.
Hey, have a good one, Kevin.
Or Belton Johnson. And, yeah, as you heard, next up for the Riders, another game against an Eastern team in Toronto on Friday. On your Monday morning. This morning we're bringing you the very latest to 980 CJME special coverage of the devastating fires in northern Saskatchewan. Right now we can tell you this morning there are 13 active wildfires, five of which are not contained. Now that is an improvement in terms of the total number of active wildfires from last week when we consistently had more than 20. So some rain, some cooler temps are continuing to have an impact on those wildfires, and they are allowing more people to go home. More evacuees can go home because of the progress being made. That includes in the LaRange area, and we are joined on the line this morning by LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett. Morning, Derek, and I'll ask you, is everyone back, and are things back to normal there?
Yeah, everyone was able to return home on last Thursday. Things have slowly getting back to normal. The businesses over the past weekend, they sort of had shorter operating hours, and places like restaurants have been having their whole menu available. But I think as the week goes on, things will return back to how they were.
And I know one of your most recent articles, Derek, talked about a kind of a staggered return. Some got to return earlier than others.
That's right. So people in the service industry, like gas stations, grocery stores, restaurants, they were allowed to come back a day or two early just to get everything ready for everyone else. People with essential services like doctors and that type of thing. And then, the rest of the general public last Thursday.
So how are people feeling there?
You know, I think the biggest thing is there's been a lot of shock and sadness just because of the destruction to our natural habitat here. A lot of the boreal forest has burnt down right around our area and on the highway to LaRange. So I think a lot of people are just kind of upset because, you know, things like that are going to take many, many years to come back.
LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett on the line with me this morning. You talk about the damage to some of the forest. What about within the community itself? Have you noticed any significant damage to structures, Derek? What's the difference since you were last there?
So I think probably a lot of your listeners have heard that the historic Robertson's Trading Store here in LaRange burnt down. There was thousands of Indigenous artifacts, beadwork, stuff like that was lost. Rona, another business, that burnt down. There's also a few houses that are gone, but I think in other communities such as Second River and Hall Lake, they have many more houses that burnt down. I think it was something like 12 in Sucker River and then 4 in Hall Lake. So,
well, we appreciate your time, Derek, and thanks for your reporting on this.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
LaRange Now reporter Derek Cornett. And yes, even more people are going home. Now, the voluntary evacuation order in Candle Lake just got lifted.
It was a great feeling, and I'm so glad that people can come back to this community.
Mayor Colleen Lavoie says people have been heading back there the last few days.
The traffic was slower because there's boats and quads and trailers coming back, and I was sure happy to see that.
Owner of JD Mini Golf there, Jackie Davis, says it's been a difficult few weeks.
Waiting was hard. The unknown was super hard, and we got through it. So bring on summer.
Now, the fire ban, though, remains in place in that community. Again, voluntary evacuation lifted. They never did have a mandatory evacuation in Candle Lake. This, meantime, has to be good news for Creighton. Just on the other side of the border, the city of Flin Flon, Manitoba, is making some progress, which is continuing with reentry planning for essential services. Weekend weather helped with firefighting efforts there, according to the city. Workers in essential services, including fire, police, EMS, and the hospital, are returning to parts of that city first and must abide by a curfew and travel restrictions. Critical businesses such as gas stations, grocery stores, pharmacies, and banks have also been contacted to determine how many staff they require to reopen. So hopefully that extends over into Creighton and the thousands of people who have been out of their homes there for, what, almost 3 weeks now, can hopefully go back home soon. CJME News Time is 8:27.